sell clothes. One works down by the coast. One had two kids but lives alone. One's already on his second wife. One's just barely getting by. But these people raised me and I can't wait to go home. And I'm on my way. I still remember these old country lanes when we did not know the answers. And I miss the way you make me feel. It's when we watch the sunset over the castle on the hill.
Broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson, this is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.
You know, I was the underdog when I asked my wife out on a date.
We interrupt this regularly scheduled programming to bring you this presentation of the Arabian Sports Network.
He's a weapon. Stability is the key in any situation.
This is the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you here on the Arabian Sports Network. My name is Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside
Emma Todd
and Trevor Martin.
And we're here for the ASN Coaches Show. Now, it's been a long week of Arabian sports, but finally it's Saturday, time for the Coaches Show. We'll start off with Arabian football, getting straight into it last night. They got a big win over the Garin Catholic Golden Eagles, their first time playing them since 2008. I was born in 2008, for a little reference. So it's been a while, and they stay undefeated against the Golden Eagles with a big win, 34-0. Yeah, very dominant performance.
Yeah, it really was, Zion. I mean, I feel like, you know, we didn't expect anything, you know, talking throughout the week, didn't think that Pendleton Heights was going to come out with that big of a victory. I mean, we were confident in the Arabians' ability to go out there and play well. But yeah, the shutout's really impressive. I think it's crazy that back-to-back weeks, the Arabians have had shutouts in the first half. I know they gave up 14 in the fourth quarter, I believe it was, last week to Lebanon. But to go out there and, you know, have the defensive effort for 48 minutes, but especially the offense too, like we talked about. Yeah, shutout is impressive for anyone, you know, for any coach and any team like that. But that's really great motivation, a great way to end the non-conference schedule. And, of course, Newcastle comes here on Friday night. But it'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out. But it's a great way to start out 2-0. I know Coach Richmond's going to be happy. I'm sure we talk to him in here in about 10 or 15 minutes when he comes down here. But I'm just really impressive and just really excited for what that does for this team to be amped up. Anytime you'd have a shutout going for the whole game and to win like that in resounding fashion on the road especially really boosts you, I think, for the rest of the season.
We'll move on to boys tennis here. They sit at a 3-3 record. They had three conference matchups this week. Excuse me, not conference, county matchups this week. Started Wednesday against Madison Grant. They got a big win, 5-0 over the Argyles. After that, they played Frankton. What's the rest of the scores for this week?
Frankton, they won 5-0. And then on Friday, they are against LaPel and LaPel's 11th county championship in 12 years.
Yeah, LaPel's a really good tennis team. They played their county championship the past Friday against LaPel. I don't have the score for that one, but I know Pendleton Heights did fall. It was a rematch of last year, and I mean, 11 county championship, it's 12 years. They're doing something right in the LaPel tennis program.
Yeah, I think LaPel, I mean, for a lot of years, like you said, I mean, we just outlined 11 county championships in 12 years. They've always been a dominant team, but I think in tennis, they definitely have a lot of those banners hung in their gym and across, I think, their school for sure. They're always take pride in their tennis team. Another cross-country runner, I think, out first. We'll kind of preview that, too. But, I mean, they're really good across the board in a lot of sports. But I would say especially boys tennis, they always take pride in. And that's why they've been so dominant and only have lost one in 12 years.
We'll move on to boys soccer. They sit at a 2-3 record. They had three matchups this week, their first one being at Muncie Burris. They won that one 5-0.
And then on Tuesday, they were against Muncie Central, and they won that 4-1. And on Thursday, they were against Hamilton Southeastern and gave up 2-0.
Yeah, it's been a big week for Mason McEwen and the boys' soccer team. In his first one against Muncie Burris, he had three goals, Mason McEwen, that is. And then the next day against Muncie Central, he had two. 6 points in the first one against Muncie Central, 4 in the second. That's 2 days, 10 points. It's been quite the week for Mason McEwen.
I agree. It's definitely very uplifting when you score as many points as he did in those two games.
As a junior, too?
Yeah, as a junior, that really makes you feel a lot better about the games that you have coming up.
Yeah, we'll move on to girls soccer. They sit at a 1-3 record. They had two matchups this week. The first one being against Lawrence North. They lost that one 8-1. In that freshman, Allie Johnson had one goal, and I believe she scored it with her head.
Yeah, she did. It got sent over, and she popped it in with her head. It was very gorgeous to watch.
After that, they played Carmel. They lost that one on the road 5-0. Emma, you're on the girls' soccer team. How's the season going?
I am. It's going pretty well. It's very hard when you face big schools like Carmel just because they have so many people. So, but the season is going very well, and we have a lot of good matchups coming up soon.
Yeah, I think Zion, I mean, we even talked about four, and Emma, I'm sure you've experienced this too. I mean, you've got really, you know, big schools too. I mean, Lawrence North and Carmel. I mean, I think it's good, you know, for Coach Summers in his first year, I mean, or just the athletic department for scheduling these type of matchups because, again, they are either tough losses for you guys, but I think it ultimately prepares you, you know, for sectional, the teams you're going to play and things like that. So that's definitely a good way to kind of, you know, early start the season. It's tough, I know, but I think ultimately it's going to pay off for this girls' soccer team because you play these tough teams, helps prepare you for the next level, of course, but also in the sectional teams you're going to see in that matchup too.
So next, girls golf, Coach Hillary Slick. I want to give a little shout out here. She posts everything on her Facebook about, you know, after every match, every meet, whatever. And it makes my job so easy here to relay all this information. So thank you, Coach Slick, and the girls golf team. So starting last Saturday, they had their county tournament. They placed fourth in the Hoosier Heritage, or I guess the Madison County tournament. I keep wanting to say Hoosier Heritage tournament. It's not, it's county. Fourth place, team score 360, junior Kirsten Dumovich had a great round of 88. She played some smart golf. This is, quote, Hillary Slick. She, quote, played some smart golf to help her to her personal best.
I don't know a lot about golf, but 88 is really good for anyone.
Right. So I agree.
As a junior, that's very impressive to me.
Yeah, after that, they play Yorktown on Thursday, August 28th. The Tigers got the win with a score of 184 to Pendleton Heights, 189. Morgan Bricker shot a 41, the best she has done on any nine-hole match this year. This girls' golf team's looking really good.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, I think, you know, they've been, you know, I think they've been competing. I mean, yeah, to lose, you know, a little bit better to the Tigers, you know, it's a tough matchup when you're in the conference for sure. But I think, yeah, with this Morgan Bricker, that's a really good score for nine holes for sure. And as a senior, you know, I would assume established leader on the team as well, too. So definitely a good score for them. And there's still room for improvement. But I think, you know, placing fourth in the county, not a terrible score there. And then to, you know, be able to compete against Yorktown in that matchup. So we'll see what the rest of the season holds for them. But it's a good start for them to start the year.
We'll move on to girls volleyball. They sit at a record of 5-4. Tuesday, they played the Noblesville Millers. They lost that one at home. Pendleton Heights lost 3-1. And then afterwards, Thursday the 28th, they played Mount Vernon. They were able to get a win over the Conference Marauders, 3-0 here. Did not have any stats. They aren't public from what I could find. But the girls volleyball team sits at a 5-4 record. They've had some tough matchups this year. We play in a really good area for volleyball. I mean, schools like Yorktown and such around the corner. So, you know, they've got a lot to look forward to, but they've also got a tough schedule. So we'll see how they fare as we approach around midseason, I would say.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, Zion, I think the biggest thing, you know, especially, I mean, losing to Noblesville, that's a tough one, but then to be able to respond against Mount Vernon and get the sweep, you know, a 3-0 win, I think a lot of Arabian fans, you know, take pride any time that you beat the Marauders, so that's definitely a big win for the volleyball team. So hopefully they can keep the season going and keep the trend alive.
We'll move on to boys and girls cross country. Last but not least, obviously they had their county meet on Wednesday. Anya Zoeller won the county championship for the girls with a course and meet record of 17 minutes and 38 seconds. Pretty impressive as a sophomore.
That is very impressive as a sophomore. And that just shows, like, how dedicated she is and how much, like, she actually loves her sport.
Right. And I think, too, I mean, she did this as a sophomore. She probably can break her own record her junior or senior, too. That's crazy to think how she's so young and able to do that. I think she can definitely break her own record here in the next couple years.
Yeah, and then for the boys' title, Simon Nicholson of LaPel took that home. Both of these cross-country teams, they have a lot of depth and a lot of promise, and it's going to be an exciting future.
Yeah, I think they have a lot of good people on the team and fast runners, so that definitely helps them a lot.
All right, with that, we are going to take a short break. When we return, I'll sit down with head coach of the Arabian football team, Coach Richmond, talk about last night's game. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Vitor Salon and Style, haircuts for women, men, and children. Located at 1816 East 53rd Street in Anderson. Their phone number is 765-400-5323. Online at detoursalonandstyle.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you here back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. My name is Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside my co-host Emma Todd in the studio, head coach of the Arabian football team, Coach Richmond. How's your day going?
Hey, things are going well. Glad to be here.
All right, we'll start off last night. You played the Garin Catholic Golden Eagles, got a commanding win over the team. In week one against Lebanon, you know, you had a commanding lead going into the second half of the game. The offense started to look a little tired. The defense was on the field for a long time. Lebanon took that little bit of breathing room and was able to put up 14 points in the fourth quarter. At Garin Catholic, you were up by 20 at halftime. How did you make sure that didn't happen again?
Well, it's players, you know. We faltered a little bit going into the third, and it was an effort, you know, to the fans and to the naked eye. It's just football a little bit, you know. They're a good team. So hard to keep them down, and they have pride and they have tradition, and you know, there were mental errors on our side, but they weren't glaring. And so I think that's what's fun about a day like today. You come in feeling good. We're 2-0, two good wins against really good teams, and we're so far from reaching our potential, it's not even a consideration. I mean, we are we're very proud of our effort and our execution last night, but, you know, we're still early into the season, you know, and that's not just coach talk. The film doesn't lie. The kids will see that. And, you know, the thing I love about these guys is they'll be humble enough to be coached today and understand, like, hey, we still have a lot of good ball ahead of us. It's our choice right now.
So yesterday, Joel Weaver got 5 plays into the game and then turned the ball over to the defense. Mm-hmm. From that point on, he rushed 156 yards and 2 touchdowns. What do you think changed for Joel Weaver after the fumble?
Well, you know, it's one of those things. We have not done that a lot. Those are some of the things that I was talking about. You know, our mesh was off, and that was a little bit him, a little bit Brant. And, you know, there's one time where Brant dropped the snap, you know, and there's a lot going on out there. It's a fast-paced game, but you got to make the most important thing most important. And I say things like that to him all the time, and it's simple things, but that was our – when we had errors or when we maybe backed off just a little bit or it felt like it were those types of things, you know. But, I mean, Joel's a tough kid. He's mentally tough. He takes a lot of pride in what he does, and he knows. So Talon Foster also came in, and competition equalizes a lot of things, you know. And Joel's our starting running back, you know. There's no question there. But Talon really came in and gave us a lift, and really did a nice job on the offensive side for us, which we knew he was capable of. So
now you mentioned Talon Foster here. This season, I've seen a lot more apparently than previous of you, you know, trying to keep guys on one side of the ball.
Yeah.
Ryland Kiesling's had a lot more incorporation on the offense recently. Yeah. And DJ McCurry's kind of stuck to the defense a little bit. How are you picking and choosing? Because, I mean, from my perspective, I don't see a rhyme or reason. I mean, Talon Foster got it done, so you want to keep him on the offense, yeah. But he's also played great defense.
Yeah, he has.
So what's the rhyme or reason to putting players where they are, especially with Talon Foster having a lot of reps last night at running back?
Well, you know, DJ had a lot more on his plate defensively with Sam out, and he did a really good job for us. I mean, he on the interception, I think it was he hit the quarterback's arm, you know.
Yeah.
He did a good job carrying receivers down the field and pass protection, you know. And so he's on the field a lot. Talon's on the field a lot. Joel's the starter. So, and Joel had 20, 22 carries, you know. But at the same time, he's going to need a breather after he gets it a few times in a row, you know. So Colton Johnson doing a good job too. So I think sometimes it's matchup. Sometimes it's simple as like fresh legs, you know. And, you know, with Talon, he's a guy I believe in. Not that I don't believe in anybody else, but I just know I watch him in practice. He's made plays, you know, through the course of the years. Teammates would tell you the same. Like, we need a spark. Talon goes in, he gives us some juice, you know. Colton, same way. DJ does that as well sometimes. It doesn't really matter who it is. It's like when Rylan caught the ball, it gave us a little energy, you know. And I think when those guys get touches sometimes, it really kind of gets things going. And last night it was obvious, you know. I mean, he had a long touchdown. Talon had actually 90 yards rushing almost, and or just over. I can't remember which, but either way, he had almost 100 yards as well, you know. And he had a long touchdown call back, or a mid touchdown call back. So anyway, a little bit of it is just what we're seeing in practice, you know. I mean, you earn the trust, you earn the opportunities, and you're going to play like you practice, and that is true so far through this season.
The Golden Eagles run almost exclusively hurry up on their offense. How did the Arabians take advantage of that?
Well, we didn't let them get ahead. First down's really important in that type of thing. If a team doesn't gain much, they can't go fast, you know, they're a quick three and out, and then we get the ball. So time of possession, I don't know what it was, but we had to own it.
You guys had 30 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, we owned it. And that was, you know, Coach Jesse did a great job. Offensive guys did a great job keeping them off the field. And that was, you know, that was something where we're going to take what they give us. And once we knew we had an advantage and we owned the line of scrimmage, we just kept feeding those guys. And they did a really good job. So, the best way to stop another really good offense is keep them off the field. To be honest with you, Lebanon did that to us last week. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had two long drives. You know, my opinion, it wouldn't have been as close as it was had we been able to stay on the field a little bit more. And but you got to give Lebanon credit for that, as we did last week. And, you know, there were a few times where Garen got us off the field. So, you know, they're going to have a good season. They're a good team, and I'm glad that we were able to, you know, neutralize their powerful offense and keep ours on the field.
Now, I haven't had a lot of time to watch high school football like you have, obviously coaching. This is the first time I've seen an offense run this much hurry up, and it looked like as the game went on, you know, that was their weakness. They would, you know, get into the huddle, they would go quickly, and you know, they would have to kill the play or change it, and then it would lead to a false start, and then, you know, it just hurting themselves, especially trying to beat the clock. Was that the case for the Golden Eagles last night? I've never seen a team run this much hurry up.
I don't know. Obviously we frustrated them. We took them out of what they do best, which is that was obvious when they got into their three back sets and they were running power and counter, which honestly this week we ran that. We knew that was part of their menu. And, you know, we had a lot of guys step up this week and do a good job on our scout team. Dane Apple was incredible this week again on our scout team. I was glad to see him get some carries late in the game, you know. And that's a kid, another one that, you know, I talked about guys last week, you know, who may not get a lot of time on Friday nights. I mean, he gets some here and there. But at the same time, he's a big part of our team. And there's a whole bunch of guys in our locker room like that are unselfish, that just they're fighting, scratching, clawing to get out there on the field. And sometimes you can't always see what they bring. And he's a guy this week that just killed it. And he was scout team running back. In fact, on Tuesday, I was super worried about their run game. But sometimes you got to fail to achieve. And there was some frustration on Tuesday. In fact, we restarted our inside run period because it was so poor. And you got to give the players credit for that. They cleaned it up. Aiden Forsha, I thought, played his butt off, and so did Garner. I thought they, and I could talk about all the guys up front, but those two guys, you know, they got criticized pretty good by me on Tuesday, and they really stepped it up last night. So
quarterback Quentin Klee was 8-21. How did Pendleton force so many incompletions against an offense that relies on a short checkdown passes?
Yeah, well, we knew what they were doing before they did it, and we communicated it. I mean, that started there. So in all seriousness, you know, you heard the players, you heard the coaches. There was a constant chatter across the defense. There was a physicality at the line of scrimmage, whether it was at corner or up front, and at outside linebacker, safety collisioning, and then our pass rush. I thought McKinley and Eldridge, Seal, you know, D. Hyden came in. Michael Emish was in there so quick one time, he didn't Like they, he beat the ball and then like couldn't find the ball. And, you know, I know he was frustrated by that, but he, tremendous effort by Michael Emisch last night. And, you know, I'm just really proud of that. I mean, we, I didn't know that we, because he gets it out so quick, I didn't know that we'd be able to get pressure on him, but we did, you know. And while we didn't maybe get a bunch of sacks, we got him off his mark. You know, we made him move a little bit when he didn't want to, and then that affected his accuracy, I thought. So he definitely was uncomfortable all night, and the center was, because he had multiple bad snaps. So we had not seen that either. And, you know, so obviously he was worried about Turner and D over the over him, and you got to give the boys credit for that. They played their tails off.
Last question for this segment. Obviously, Quentin Kalia, a lefty quarterback. Did you plan to change anything for a lefty quarterback?
No.
No?
No, I mean, no, I'll say this, though. Hudson Frank did a tremendous job at scout team getting the ball out quick like he does.
Yeah.
So when you think about preparing for a team, sometimes like, and I've talked about this a little bit, you know, we're able to run and pass, but sometimes it's hard to simulate a ball coming out so quick. Mm-hmm. And he does. He gets it out quick. And Brant does that, but he doesn't always play our scout team. And we didn't have to use Brant because Hudson did such a tremendous job. And he deserves a lot of credit getting us ready, too. So our scout team was super effective this week and challenging. And that competition really, I think, helped us get better. And I'm really proud of those guys.
All right, that'll wrap it up for this segment. Stay tuned for one more where we preview next week's matchup against Newcastle. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Financial Enhancement Group. Retirement planning, risk management, and legacy planning. Located on Enterprise Drive in Anderson, their phone number is 800-928-4001. Or online at talktofeg@yourlifeafterwork.com.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by RE/MAX Legacy Nick and Leanne Rogers. Located at 6692 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-617-9420.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. My name is Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside Emma Todd and the head coach of the Arabian football team, Coach Richmond.
Tylan Thrine is one of the Newcastle's best players. He's a three-sport athlete who won state for wrestling his sophomore year. He was able to pick off Colton Frank in 2024. I know we're early into the week, but what's your plan for avoiding Tylan Thrine?
He's a stud. You know, I love watching him play. He plays football how it's supposed to be played. I really have a lot of respect for him, and I feel like he's in like his seventh or eighth year. You know, he's played a lot of football for them, and he's been an absolute thorn in our side the whole time. So, you know, we don't go away or. There's no game plan just for him. We got to know where he is, and we've got to attack him, and we got to try to take away his strengths in some ways. So, you know, the thing I saw to counter him is it popped in my head as you were talking about him, because I think he's a really unselfish player. Like, he does what he's supposed to do, even though he may not get the stats, you know what I mean? And I saw a lot of that from us last night. You know, Cooper Sims catches a flat route, and Lowen Beal's running a fade, and Lowen Beal sees Coop catch it, and Lowen starts blocking. I mean, that type of unselfishness is what's going to continue to make our team really, really good. Coop, late in the game, could have got more yards on a catch, on another catch, and he slides in bounds to keep the clock running. You know what I mean? Very just heady play, unselfish, and that's when I think Thrine. He's very physical. He's a great tackler. He might be the best tackler in our conference. Obviously, wrestling, he's second to none. And we've known of him for these 4 years, and he's a leader for him too, you know. So, obviously, they've used him a lot more on offense last year, and I'm sure this year. We haven't watched anything yet. They play at 1 o'clock today, actually, is their homecoming. So, we don't have film on them yet. But yeah, he's their guy. There's no question there. So, but, you know, we got a bunch of guys who play very unselfish as well. And, you know, that's the type of thing we want to make sure we're emulating as well.
Yeah, you touched on my next question. Because of their homecoming, they don't play until 1 o'clock today. Yeah. Has this ever happened in your time here? And, you know, is this making it difficult for the team? What's that like?
I mean, it throws off our Saturday schedule a little bit in preparation, but we got time. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have school Monday, so we have time, and we have plenty enough to work on ourselves. So yes, it has with like rain delays and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I had forgotten that they do this, but they've done this before because it's a tradition there. Every 4 years they have their homecoming. It's just a little glitch, and you know, we got some time to watch the Hoosiers maybe this afternoon. I don't know. J.R. Richmond turns 11 today, so I got my hands full with him anyway. So it's going to be a good weekend.
Well, obviously Newcastle, the first touch of conference play this year. You had a lot of success in non-conference play, at least compared to the past few years. Obviously, not to say that you're peaking now, yeah, but you want to try to peak at the right time. And, you know, you have a part of your schedule where, you know, you play Mount Vernon, Greenfield Central, yeah, and New Pal. How do you make sure you're peaking at the right time now that we're officially touching conference play and the team is looking hot?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I appreciate that. But, you know, I told the boys last night this is just another step. Mm-hmm. And we gotta handle it with maturity. And you know, the only thing that can stop us is us. And that's not to say we're better than everybody, because we are not. But if we don't let anything come between us, and that means adversity. You know, this week was a heck of a week. I mean, we dealt with a lot of stuff, and between sickness and then the impetigo, like it was not a fun week. And but the boys that were there, I mean, our effort every day in the weight room and on the field, and the guys that were doing what they were supposed to do, even though it was annoying and we didn't understand it, and maybe we didn't agree with it, you know, they did what they were supposed to do so that then they could get back out here. And the reward was an opportunity to compete, and they went out and they did that. And so now we've got to continue to sharpen those skills and get better, and there are definitely no days off. I mean, I you know, those are two really good teams we just beat. You know, and we didn't, Lebanon's a good program and Garen obviously is a good program. So we didn't shy away from anybody, and we were able to get better and come out with a win, which is like the best case scenario, you know? So now we just got to continue to repeat that. When you look at the, you know, you talk about, peaking almost like, track and field or cross country, and, football similar in some ways, like the first part of the season, it's conditioning and fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
Middle part of the season is adaptation to your schemes and what the other teams are doing. And then at the end of the season, you want to be playing your best ball, and you attack teams off of your tendencies and with their tendencies, and you know what you're really good at, you know, and then you hit the ground running when you get that second season. And that's the blueprint for success in the tournament. Now, the problem is there's a whole bunch of good teams throughout all that. So it can get masked with losses. And then you get to the tournament like we did last year, and we got better all along, but our competition was so stinking good that like it was hard to see sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then we go, you know? And so so we're far from peaking to really address what you said before, but it's fun to see a lot of plays made and guys doing well and correcting things along the way.
Well, that'll about wrap it up for this segment. It's a very fun week, Coach, and we look forward to next week, Newcastle. I guess we'll see you then.
Yeah, let's go. Go Ravens.
All right, stay tuned for more. You're listening to the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for 91.7 WEEM comes from our donors and underwriters, and from Bendel Lawn Equipment. Sales, servicing, and delivery located at 3841 North State Road 9 in Anderson. Their phone number is 765-642-0657 or online at BendelLawnEquip.com. This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by S&B Heating and Cooling. Located at 6879 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 317-448-2044. Online at sbheatingcooling.com.
91.7 WEE.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to this interview on the Arabian Sports Network. My name is Zion Palmieri, and I'm joined here alongside Pendleton Heights tennis head coach Brian Beard. How's your day going?
It's been a very productive day. We're looking forward to good practice and our first match tomorrow.
All right. So last year, you had a boys' record of 11-7. When I looked into this, I didn't get any past years. I think I got 2022, maybe. This was your best record in a while, from what I can tell. What did last season as an impression leave on your team, a team that's not used to, you know, going 11-7?
Yeah, well, the specific data was last year we went 500, and that was the first non-losing season in, I think, 13 years. So, you know, that was great to have not only a winning season, but a big jump. This year is very similar to last year in the sense that we have a lot of seniors in varsity positions. However, it's a lot of seniors in varsity positions for the first time. So it's kind of misleading when you look and you see, oh, it's a lot of experience. It's not. But it's a lot of people that are ready to jump in and take that role. And I'm really excited for these guys. So it should be a lot of similarities from last year, but we look to learn from last year and make more out of it.
How do you make that change from the junior varsity to varsity level easy? Because in all sports, the speed ramps up and it can be kind of difficult for some guys. So how do you make that smooth?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. I think in the sport of tennis, a lot of that's done in the off season. You know, we're lucky to have Community Sports and Wellness, where I actually manage the facility in town. So most of these kids are getting that type of experience, whether they're on JV or varsity anyways. They've played most of these players before, so there's not really any surprises there. But it's different when your point actually matters for the team and pressure comes. So I think just there's no way to prepare for that other than just doing it, to be honest with you.
This year, you've got new matchups in University, High School, Jay County, and East Central. What do these new matchups offer the program?
Well, you know, the reason that we did that, we were in the Richmond Invitational for the last 2 years, mm-hmm. and we won both years, which was actually awesome. So as cool as that was to bring hardware, it was getting to the point that I don't think was very helpful for us. Another thing is it didn't really go towards individual stats and team growth. And obviously, we want more than that, but we would rather just have more experience and head-on matches that can go towards our overall schedule rather than lose three matches that we can have on our schedule because of an invitational that really doesn't serve much for us. So we were thankful for the time we had in Richmond, and now we get, you know, a little more opportunity of playing new opponents. So
how closely did you work with the athletic department? Did you pick these schools, or did they just say, you know, this is going to be a ramp up for you guys?
A little bit of both. You know, Adam Ritz, I can't say enough about him and how much he communicates and offers opportunities. Basically, Adam finds the opportunities and then will call me or text me or bring me in directly to say, hey, coach, you tell us, is this what we want to do? And then I kind of get the final say. So he really makes it easy, but then he also puts a lot of trust on me. I mean, he's just him and Chad have just been awesome since I've come into the program.
Now, you mentioned you coming into the program. This is your third year, I believe. You followed Royce Hamel, a longtime coach here, I believe 14 years in the program. Did you feel like you have big shoes to fill when that happened? And now, like 3 years removed, you know, how are you doing? Do you feel like you fit the mold pretty well?
Yeah, I'm laughing because something interesting to know about that, I'm assuming you guys like interesting local Pendleton facts, but I was actually coaching at Anderson University before I stepped away from that during COVID, and then I missed coaching and then Royce resigned. But the funny thing is I took over a women's program that his wife Sue was coaching for 20 years. And then so after that, and I know their daughters who played at Pendleton, because we all played tennis at the same time. Alex and I played at Anderson University together when we were in our undergraduate studies. So there's a lot of connections. So I didn't feel like I had big shoes to fill because I've already been in that position before, but I have a lot of respect to Royce. He still reaches out and will offer a lot of guidance and help. But I didn't feel unprepared because it wasn't the first time I've done that, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Now this guy's team, they lost a very tough sectional to a Fisher school. That was an incredible team. Now almost we're coming on a year removed from that. What are these returning players? Did that leave them hungry? Did that leave them wanting more?
Yeah, it does. That's a tough one because you know, Fisher's graduated a lot of seniors, but now HSC is going to be better than they were. And here's the thing, and not to keep bringing up community sports and wellness, but we have this, you know, state-of-the-art tennis facility in Pendleton, but it doesn't only serve Pendleton kids. All of those Fishers and HSC kids are in the programming there. So it's a very interesting sectional because all of those kids know of each other or have played each other or looked up to each other. I think they're ready for the challenge. I think that's probably more of a stretch goal. I think we have things that we're more focused on for ourselves, but it is a lot of fun to play those schools at the end of the year and to see what happens. And even, you know, we didn't beat Fishers as a team, and there's going to be a challenge to win as a team to get out this year in sectional. We still have a lot of work to do. However, there always is opportunities of moving on at one doubles and one singles into the individual tournament. So even though that the uphill battle is very large and anything's possible, you know, there's other opportunities and areas that we can move out there as well. So
since you play these schools in your close community sports and wellness facility, I feel like you could easily like make a ton of friends or you could make a ton of enemies. Do you think it's good for these players to meet other tennis players their age and compete like this? Do you have to like, is it tense in there sometimes? What's it like?
No, I don't think it's tense at all. I think that's just the nature of tennis. I mean, even from professionally speaking, the sport of tennis, I don't know another sport where you go to play your opponent and share the same locker room and then walk out and then compete against each other, win or lose, and then go and share the same locker room. I don't know of another sport that you have that much intimacy. So just in general in the sport, that's just how it is. And, you know, we don't really even see it that way. You compete against the people when it's time to compete, but the reality is in any sport, you want to be practicing against the people that you need to beat. It's just iron sharpens iron. Tennis is really a lot like boxing in the sense that my hit affects your hit. It's not like we take turns. No, I don't think there's any animosity or anything there. Now, if we start winning and when we start winning, and because I, you know, manage the facility, I'm sure that a lot of the Hamilton County schools will not like me. But for now, we have a good relationship. So hopefully that changes real quick and I can make some more enemies.
Now, you mentioned a good base of returning seniors this year for this team. Who do you think is going to make the most impact at the varsity level for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, it's wide open for everybody. Owen Keene is in Braddock Souders are the only returner, and they will both be actually in the same position, it seems. Dane Reddington, technically Braddock played two doubles, so he'll be in the one double spot this year, which is a bump up. He'll be playing with Dane Reddington, again, as it seems. We'll see how things go. I think those guys are going to have a lot of fun, and I think if they're having a lot of fun, they're going to be able to play and give their best. So I'm looking forward to that. We got a couple young kids as well that are going to step up, and I've got my eyes out for them. Because they've still got, you know, we got a couple sophomores in Wade Paul and Josiah Davis who are currently playing varsity. And, you know, that's good because they're going to be here for a couple years as well, too. So I think our biggest thing right now is to, and Jagan Saltz will move up to two singles. It's another senior that's playing. Nate Ghosh will be playing varsity for the first time. So there's just, like I said, there's a lot of first timers, but they're not new to tennis and they're not new to year-round tennis, but they'll be new to the challenge. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm really looking forward to just having a lot of fun with them this season.
One last question here for your coach. I asked this because he's my friend, Noah Madison on your team. He's awesome. A very creative, fun dude.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I know I was preparing for this interview. I saw on your Instagram a post from, I think, a year, maybe two ago. He gave you a gift at the end of one of your seasons. Maybe it was last year. I can't remember.
Yeah.
What's it like to have a fun guy like that? He always, you know, you see on Instagram, he posts because you're playing lapel, you're playing a team like that. You know, he's a fun guy and he's great to have on a team.
Yeah. You know, I coached, let's see, almost six full years at Anniston University and NCAA Division III, had a lot of amazing athletes that I still have relationships with. I've now coached going into my third year here. I've been in some capacity of sports for a long time, and I've never met someone like Noah who just selflessly provides to the team. I can't say enough about him, and honestly, it'll probably make me emotional because he's a senior. But yeah, it's just really, really talented individual, really humble individual. Man, I wish he could just make those art designs for our matches for the rest of the time that I'm coaching here, even beyond when he graduates. And those that are listening, if you get a chance, you should get on our Instagram account. That's really all that we use anymore. Noah has really cool artwork design and plans to do that again this year. So even if you don't know how the scoring system works or what in the world tennis is, it's perfectly okay. Check out the artwork that Noah's doing for us.
Well, that'll about wrap up this interview. I appreciate you joining me, Coach, and we should revisit you later in this season, so stay tuned for that.
Thank you.
All right, stay tuned for more. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Dr. Dana Wright's Dental Studios. Dental care for children and adults in Pendleton at 113 South Heritage Way. Phone is 765-229-5900. Online at drdanawright.com. This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by Modern Tree Solutions, tree removal, tree pruning, and crane lifting services. Their phone number is 765-374-8698. Online at moderntreesolutions.com.
We welcome you here to the... Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you here to this interview on the Arabian Sports Network's Coaches Show. My name is Connor Westland, and today I'm joined alongside boys and girls cross country head coach Rod Hagerman. Coach Hagerman, how you doing today?
Good, Connor. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. So just not wasting any time, we'll jump straight into the questions. So just first off, in general, for the boys and girls, how are you feeling for this upcoming season as the head coach?
We're really excited, especially for the boys team. You know, we're heavily laden with seniors and juniors, so that's always a good thing. And the girls team is a young team, but they're experienced. And we're hoping for some good things out of both of them.
That's great to hear. And just going off of that, how is the team, how are they feeling about the season here going into the Trojan XC opener tomorrow morning?
Yes, I know the boys are really excited. They've worked extremely hard all summer. Put together some goals, you know, amongst themselves. They've gelled together really well, and I think they're expecting to win tomorrow. I hope they do. And the girls are the same thing. They've had a good summer of training, and the team camaraderie this year with the girls is much better than last year even. And, I think they're ready to go also tomorrow.
Going off what you said, do you know any of those goals that the boys team may be looking forward to? Anything in specific that you want to mention that they may have talked about?
Yeah, they put together some lofty goals of trying to get to the state meet as a team. You know, last year we had one individual, Benson Davis, did it. But, you know, we got definitely two quality seniors at the top that could go to the state individually. But to go as a team, our regional is really tough. And, you know, we can, not saying we can't do it, but it's definitely going to take a full seven guys to get it done.
About a year removed from the team getting knocked out of sectionals last year, how is the boys team from the boys that are still here? How have they been digesting the loss, and has that motivated them to just come back stronger and maybe determine to go further?
Yes, I think it did, because, you know, pretty much the whole team qualified as individuals out of sectional to regional. It's just we weren't a team. But, yeah, I think they're highly motivated after last year. And our sectional is extremely tough, probably one of the tougher ones in the state. And our regional is also. So, unfortunately, we're in a bad area of the state, you know, where there's a lot of good running schools. But I think that motivated them last year, just missing it as a team by one place of getting to regional. So,
are there any specific runners on the team that you may be looking forward to seeing what they're capable of and maybe could be some of your biggest key pieces?
We always have high expectations out of their seniors, which is Benson Davis and Zach White and Ashton Smith. And, you know, like I said earlier, we got some juniors, and, you know, we got Henry Corbin coming back. He's been training real hard. And yourself, Connor Weflin, which is a new runner, you know, and has really made some great strides this summer. We really have about nine boys. You know, you got returning Dane Sutton, newcomer Luke Sellers, Ryder Englehart, another junior that really did well at the end of the year last year, and freshman Thax Carpenter. I really can't tell you who our top seven is going to be.
Always like to have a lot of depth when it comes to your cross-country team. Like you mentioned, you said your sectional and the regional is one of the hardest in the state, if not the hardest. Besides that, are there any other hurdles that you think your team might have to overcome this season, and why?
And No, it's just that we got to be patient, put in the work, and so far we've done that. The kids come prepared, locked in every day for quality practices, and as long as they do that in the meets, and you know, I think all of them will be happy by October with their, you know, their times and how they're racing, and they just have to be patient, and it's not a sport where you get good overnight. You know, it's day in, day out, hard work, and so far they've been doing it all summer, so I don't know why they would stop now.
So going over to the girls' team, just wondering, how big of a loss is senior Ava Jarrell last year after graduating? Because as you know, she finished second in the state at the state meet, and is that gonna, how's that going to affect just not just the girls' team, but this whole team overall going into this upcoming season?
Yeah, it's not every day you have two runners that get second and third in the state on the same team. And, you know, then you lose one, that's always going to be a loss, you know, for the team as far as scoring. But as far as other than that, yeah. I mean, well, we also lost Hadley Walker, who was a senior, and she really came on at the end and about qualified for the state on her own. She only missed it by a few seconds. So. Losing two seniors. So the girls have lost a lot, number one and number three runner. And but, you know, we still have, I mean, that might be another question, but it was a good, it was a lot of loss for the girls team losing those two.
So going off of that, of course, your other girls runner, number two on the team, who finished third in the state, Anya Zoeller, in her sophomore season.
Yeah.
How has she been doing this summer? Are you expecting a big jump? Do you think she'll even go as far as to win state? Are there any hurdles that she needs to overcome this season?
Yeah, Anya had a great track season. Coach Bear, they did a good job with her. She got second in the mile. All I cared about was she was getting faster in track, getting her mile time down, and she did that. And she's been training all summer, being patient. And she knows that, you know, by October, she'll be where she needs to be. At the state meet, she's going to have two seniors to race against that have both won a state championship in cross country. One at her sophomore year, and last year she got sixth, Libby Dowdy. Then the girl that won it last year was a junior, and she's going to be a senior this year. So that's kind of tough going against two prior state champions, but I would like her to make it to where neither one of them get to do it twice. So she's very capable the way she's looking right now.
So like you mentioned, the boys team made some goals for themselves, not just like with you and the coaches, just as a them together themselves. Do you know if the girls have also come up with their own goals, if they have the same expectations, how they're looking?
Yeah, I mean, for the girls team this year with the loss, last year they got fourth at sectional, which was amazing. And then they just barely missed going to the state meet, you know, like by 6 points at the regional. And that was kind of a hard race to, you know, for us to handle there. You know, got a little bit of disappointment. But losing two key cogs like that and replacing them this year, us getting to the regional as a team, it's kind of like the boys last year. We're kind of flip-flopping teams here. You know, the boys have the better shot when you look at it right now, this time of the season, and the girls are more of a long shot, you know, of getting to the state meet as a team. So it's going to depend on a lot of these young sophomores that were there last year. They got to at least participate as freshmen, and so we got a lot of sophomore girl runners. So.
Great to hear. Hoping to see both boys and girls team go far. And that's going to be about all the time we have. So thanks for joining me, Coach Hagerman, and answering my questions. And you're listening to the Arabian Sports Network on 91.7 WEEM.
Don't miss out. Join Brooklyn Schuyler, Sophia Bevan, and Logan Roman in their brand new podcast, The Arabian Rundown. New episodes are posted every other Thursday on all podcast platforms, as well as on YouTube at 917-WEEM-WEEM Media. From funny stories to trying new foods, you won't want to miss an episode. Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. My name is Zion Palmieri. I'm joined here alongside Emma Todd and Mr. Trevor Martin. pretty good coaches show we've had so far. Let's close this thing out. We'll preview next week's matchups in all Pendleton Heights fall sports. We'll start with boys tennis. Firstly, they play at Shelbyville on Tuesday, September 2nd. First match in September, 5 p.m. start for the boys tennis team. Just coming off their county championship loss to LaPel. We mentioned it before. It's their 11th one in 12 years. This is an exciting team.
Coming up next, we have boys soccer, and then they have a game on Tuesday, September 2nd as well against Greenfield Central, and it is at Greenfield Central. And then on Thursday, September 4th, they are against Anderson at 6:30.
Yeah, the boys soccer team, Mason McEwen lead the way with 6 goals, had 3 of them in his matchup against Muncie Burris, and then 2 the next day at Muncie Central. He's on a hot streak, excited to see what the boys soccer team does.
For sure, yeah. I think, like I said, that rivalry game, I would say, you know, at Anderson on Thursday would be the one to kind of highlight. But then you got a conference matchup at Greenfield, too. So two road trips this week, both have a lot of significance, one with the conference, one with the county. But I think it should be a pretty good week, yeah, for the boys soccer team.
Yeah, we'll move on to girls soccer. They play at Greenfield Central on Wednesday, September 3rd, 7 p.m. start against the Lady Cougars. And then they will travel to Westfield to play the Lady Shamrocks, that one next Saturday, September 6th. 11:30 start in the morning.
And then for girls golf, they have one meet this week, Thursday, September 4th, and they are at Yorktown with Yorktown and Delta.
Yeah, I'll talk about girls golf a little bit. They are coming off their county tournament as well as a match versus Yorktown. We mentioned it before, they did fall in the Yorktown, or they did fall in the Yorktown and the county tournament. They placed fourth. But this is another team that's looking good. I mentioned it before. Coach Slick keeps their Facebook very updated. And, you know, you can see, like, this girl didn't have her best day today. This girl did really good. This girl deserves some praise. She's really public about all the information the girls' golf team. And it really helps you keep up to date and, you know, kind of keeping posted with that. They're in good shape, and they're going to compete this year come, you know, tournament time. And individually, they're going to do really well.
Ryan, I think we talked about before, just like with the girls golf team, I mean, their season kind of ends, you know, sooner than all the other fall sports, but this is a great opportunity, you know, to get out there again against two conference opponents, conference foes there. And I think they'll, you know, I mean, yeah, so it's a road matchup at the Players Club in Muncie there, but I think it should be a good turnout for them and should be able to, you know, even, you know, hopefully compete. And even if they, you know, come up short, it's like, again, it's still a good chance to compete against two good quality conference opponents.
Girls volleyball next year. They will travel to LaPel on Tuesday, September 2nd, 7:30 start. Against the Lady Bulldogs, and then after that, they will play Yorktown here at home. That one Thursday, September 4th, 7 p.m. start.
Carmen Horn has done really well with 84 kills, 34 digs, and 20 aces. And Gianna Knitz has 146 assists and 6 blocks, which is insane.
Yeah, they're playing really well right now. I mean, the girls' volleyball team, again, LaPel County foe, so that's obviously going to be a challenge there on Tuesday. But then I would say the biggest, probably one of the season you'd highlight there, is that home matchup against Yorktown. They're a team that last year, I think Zion, we talked a couple weeks ago, they went 33-3 in state runner-ups last year, and they're always going to be competing. I mean, they're in our sectional, so you're not going to avoid them. You're going to see them in the regular season. You're going to see them in the tournament most likely if the Ravens, Lady Ravens, can advance that far. That's one that's going to be tough. Again, you have to play them. They're in the conference. They're not going anywhere, but that's one that's going to be, if they can get a set or two, that's great. But man, it's so tough to beat Yorktown. I couldn't put a finger on the last time we've been able to beat them in volleyball, just because you got Muncie into that program, pumps out some of the best volleyball players in the state, in the nation for sure. So that'll be a tough one. But again, it's a home matchup, so hopefully, you know, fans, students can come out and support the Lady Ravens. It's the night before, we'll get preview that in a second, Newcastle versus Pendleton Heights. So come out and support those Lady Ravens on Thursday, and then continue that into Friday against Newcastle at home. So hopefully we get big turnout for that matchup, because that's a big one. They're going to need all of the support from the Pendleton community in that matchup against Yorktown.
Yeah, you mentioned that Yorktown one. I mean, that's a good one. Get some film. Get a little scout on this team. You know, you make a run, you're going to see them again. Mm-hmm. Maybe sectional championship, maybe round two or one. You know, they're right down the road, so that one's going to be fun at home if you want to see a good volleyball game. 7:30 start on Thursday here at Pendleton Heights. Then we'll talk about finally the football game on Friday. Pendleton Heights versus Newcastle at home, second home game of the season for the Arabians. They sit at 2-0 right now. Newcastle 0-1. They play Jay County today at 1 p.m. We mentioned that before. Their homecoming, they throw a big event. Once in a few years, and that happens to fall on this year. Mm-hmm. So they're going to play today on Saturday. Kind of odd turn of events, kind of throws a wrench in the football team's plans, like we mentioned. But I'm excited for that matchup. We talked about Tylan Thrine a little bit earlier on the coach's show. I said it before when we played him. He's a Swiss Army knife. He can go anywhere they put him. Coach Richmond said, it's like we played the guy 8 years in a row now. He knows his way around a football. So when they put him in at running back for a few snaps, he's going to get it done. When he, you know, sits there, linebacker kind of safety area and plays zone, he's going to get it done. He jumped a pass off Colton Frank, and it was pretty close to taking it for six last year. I'm really nervous when you go against a guy like him. You got to keep your eye on him at all times.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. And I think Zion, just, you know, mentioning too, this game has a little bit more added significance because, you know, not to talk about things, but it's like, who knows if this matchup will happen again. I mean, they're the one leaving the conference, so that, and then Shelbyville the last week of the season are kind of two opponents that, again, Pendleton's played 20, 25 times over the last few years, but that's one that, you know, it's at home, so there's obviously significance there. It's the week before homecoming, so there's going to be some added energy there, I would say. But yeah, who knows if we'll play. I mean, they could be an opponent, but going forward, they'd be non-conference. So it's interesting to see, I think, this matchup for both teams, but especially for the Arabians, want to kind of send them out maybe the wrong way or whatever, just because you want to get that last win against them, since it could be the last time that we face the Trojans, at least for the foreseeable future. So it'll be, I think, a little bit add significance there. But like you said, too, Thryan is kind of that Swiss Army knife, does it all for the Trojans. And they're a team that, again, when they play Pendleton Knights and Pendleton Knights same way, you're going to be able to get up for a game like that. It's a lot of meaningful snaps and reps there. So it'll be an interesting one. Again, hopefully a large turnout there. Pendleton community always gets together on a Friday night. So excited to see that one, that matchup here come Friday. So about 6 days away will be more Arabian football for you guys.
Yeah, I didn't even consider that yet. Obviously, I haven't done much prep work.
Yeah,
because we're about a week out from the game, but this is potentially the last time you play them. And that means a lot, especially because we've had them in the conference since it started in 95.
At least probably 20, 25 years. I mean, it's been every year. I mean, it's home and away, back and forth. And it's been a matchup. I think we've seen them in sectional, you know, I mean, we've had some good matchups even when I was here, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years ago, we had some, I think we won an overtime against them, and there's a lot of history there. Of course, you know, they're a school that's not far away. And, you know, it's just, one of those things, every sport, you know, probably basketball, then baseball and softball season will be the last time to potentially see them. So yeah, definitely one that kind of meaningful. I mean, a lot of rivalries and, you know, conference matchups are meaningful, but this one I think has just as much significance as any of the other ones we play, for sure. So I mean, they're definitely one that, yeah, we want to, everyone wants bragging rights, I'm sure, with Coach Richmond. He'll prep them this week to get as prepared as they can, for sure. But it'll be exciting to see how this matchup turns out on Friday night, for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it's been a minute since the Arabians have looked this hot, especially I can't remember a win that they've had in my time here at the high school that's been that, like, you know, whoa, like, they put up 34, shut out a tough 3A team who just knocked down 5A McCutcheon, and, you know, that bus ride home was a little electric. That was exciting. You know, it's starting to get a little buzz here. I asked Coach Richard, I was like, hey, you know, you want to peak at the right time, not saying you're peaking now. You know, how do you make that happen? Keep your eyes on this football team. It's going to be exciting.
Oh, for sure. And I think, like I said, you know, these next two games being at home, and obviously next week, you know, we'll preview that even, you know, next Saturday, but with it being homecoming in 2 weeks, but I think having those back-to-back home games, you know, have a live stream, I think people will be into it. I'm so excited just to see again, you know, now as, you know, an alum and coming back and working here at for Weem, it's definitely one of those things where I am so grateful and excited just to continue this and to be able to, you know, have these home matchups. And then, of course, you know, we'll get to that later into September, but those will be tough back-to-back matchups at New Pal, at Mount Vernon. But that's in the future. You got to think about Newcastle and Greenfield Central coming up next. And so I think this team, like Coach Richmond said, you know, they always have good weeks of practice. And I think this week will just be the same, you know, buzz. I think you get up more because you don't have to go travel on the bus. You get to play in front of your home fans, maybe last time against Newcastle. So a lot, I think, added energy will be the case this week for when the Arabians will face the Trojans on Friday night.
Well, that'll about wrap it up for the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. We had a pretty fun one here. Unpacked some new things with Coach Richmond and previewed next week in all Arabian sports. Finally, I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here with
Emma Todd
and Trevor Martin.
And stay tuned for more. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.